Now you may resume.
Okay, comments.
Well, we had a meeting yesterday, and got some updated numbers. Had some discussion about separation of the EDRC and social services off at the jail. Found out that we cannot, as a committee, make that recommendation because the county board at one point decided to put everything together on one campus. So we need to have that discussion to a certain extent next week, but I think that the feeling, and I've fielded five calls, I think, since the meeting, the jail is probably moving forward. The location and building for ADRC and social services is to be determined, depending on price tags. I really don't want this on the recorder, so I won't give a magic number, but I think there's a magic number out there that we're all hoping for, considerably less than the $28 million that started out. The jail made a lot of cuts to get down on square footage and beds, number of beds. Right now, the design would be 80 up to 96 double bunked per cell. And I think the sheriff and the jailer are comfortable with those numbers. We were at 64 here 2 weeks ago. We were pretty much maxed out. To say this, but I'm outnumbered, but the female population is what's killing us right now.
You have to have a separate area for the female.
You can't even see. You're not supposed to be able to even see the opposite sex. So a challenge in the old jail that we have.
Can you give me a percentage of male to female? I mean,
I think they said 12 females the other day.
About 20%.
It's got a lot to do with it. So right now, I think we've got 3 females in Sauk County. We've taken, there's kind of an exchange system. It's actually cheaper to house them elsewhere other than the transportation costs. So I think that's why we're somewhat comfortable with the numbers. Getting to the point where everybody's comfortable. The biggest challenge right now with the wing, and I call it a wing for the ADRC and social services, was brought up at a department head meeting. What about if things change in the next 5 or 10 years with ADRC or social services? You know, social services got cut in half here 7, 8 years ago when family care split off. If you downsize both of these departments, and then what do we do with the extra facility? Is it flexible enough to go to Health and Human Services or bring Unified in, you know, so they aren't leasing the building? So those are the questions. And it's like I used yesterday, you know, it's come to the point where we're all second-guessing to a certain extent. It's time to write the check, you know. You go buy a new vehicle, did it really make the right choice? And it's that point that we're at. But I think, and Dan can comment, Pat as much too. Pat wasn't there yesterday, but Dan was. You know, I think we're getting to the point where we're somewhat comfortable. And I just met prior to this meeting with Alliance about the power that we had problems with and trying to get a better feel for that. And every so often you got to upgrade. A big price tag to upgrade, so it's the challenge.
I mean, is it feasible to go ahead with the jail and not know if you're going to do it all in one?
I think we're going to do it all, but maybe not in one.
I just keep thinking, well, how do you set the jail here and then think the others are coming and then you don't? And
I might add to that, one of the thoughts, and this is again from I'm from District 17, the Keeler-Dickeyville area, and it's a very hot issue to talk about down there, that we've got school referendums and that we've got $28 million projected cost of this anyway for the taxes, taxes issue. There's a lot of talk about it, so I do get a lot of input from the folks that I represent. And one of the things that they're talking about relative to ADRC, and I tell them I'm on this committee, is they're having trouble getting it in their mind that they're going to be using the, they're going to be walking into the jail entrance to go to ADRC. And a lot of the comments relative to that are, that isn't going to happen. They're not going to, they just aren't going to use ADRC because they don't. And it's probably a thing they need to get over. And I've got some fellow board members who think it's, they won't even know the difference. I don't know if it says jail. I think I know the difference.
I don't know. I was in Greene County, and you walk into that building, and there's a jail attached there. But
that's that big one in Monroe, right?
Yeah.
Over in Monroe. It's a whole campus area.
It's all over, and you don't notice it. I think it's maybe be more of a perception issue than a reality issue, but sometimes perception is reality, and if you're going to drive the 25, 30 miles to come up here, I don't know. That's a concern, I guess, of mine, too, that I'm hearing from the people that I represent, and they're the ones that are going to be using it, you know, or should be using it. You know,
and paying for it.
And paying for it. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to think they would should have a little bit bigger voice in it. But
I think the big push right now, and everyone that I've talked to since the meeting, including the representative from the CMS group, has come to the conclusion that this may not be the ultimate position for ADRC and Social Services because of the highway, the extra traffic created because of the jail. If you have an emergency situation and an officer's leaving and an elderly person's driving in, you know, there's just some of the reasons why not to have it together. Again, maybe it's second guessing, but there's two or three sites possible in Lancaster at 25 mile an hour entry and exit that might work.
That's a comment I've also heard, is the traffic flow out here pulling out and the accident ratio.
And you've got elderly.
Yeah.
Elderly people.
The only other thing I might add, too, from that is I don't think what we're saying, I don't want anybody to misconceive this, but it isn't that the jail would be built first and then ADRC and Social Services later. No. In fact, it might even be that
the other way around.
That Social Services and ADRC would be built first, that we would resolve that and get out of this building and do that first.
Yeah, I'm hoping that won't be lost, that we're still desperately in the building.
Right. And I think that's a... You know,
and I think that's one of the other benefits of splitting it, is that even if we built them both at the same time, we could be out of this building sooner than they can be out of the jail.
Correct.
And we're still talking about Social Services and ADRC together.
Yes.
Yeah. But just in a different location.
Some people are talking about that.
Well, you know, I have to commend, I think, the county board for giving a lot of forethought into the whole thing and listening to all sides. And I'm sure it's not going to be 100% happiness.
Right.
And I've had several people try to pin me down, and it really is. Bob and I have had many conversations about it, and there are some concerns about being out here. There's a lot of pros about being out here, too. I think we will lose some of the quality that we might have had if we were out here and the collaboration opportunities. But, yes, but the sheriff's vehicles leaving here is a concern for me as well.
There was a comment made at law enforcement the other morning. I've probably heard it before, but it never really struck me until the other day. If you impose change, people are going to oppose change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Do we have any idea what the cost is going to put on the individual consumer in the county from a tax standpoint?
What was it originally that we had talked about as a whole?
At like 28 or $29 million, it was going to be, correct me if I'm wrong here, Dan, you probably got it in your mind better than I do, 27 cents a thousand.
Yeah, it was something like
four, but maybe I'm wrong.
Could be. $100,000 almost like $39 or $40, $34.
That's what it was.
$34.
Yeah.
But, and I do sympathize with Dan because my brother lives in Jamestown Township. Hazel Green Schools, their taxes went up 30% this year. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Basketballs went up.
And there's a school.
And we're holding off on any future referendums until we can
we've got two
calm down from this one.
Cuba City and Southwest.
So.
Plus, in the scope of things, the property evaluations is, you know, who's going to pay for it, you know. And as it is, there's 52 municipalities in the county, and that's cities, villages, and townships. We're unincorporated in Keeler and Jamestown, so but our evaluation is the third highest. Platteville's at $500 million, Lancaster's around $200 million, and Jamestown's at about $180 million. So that's relative to, again, the size of the homes and the property owners and who is going to be paying for it.
Right.
And as you get further down to the 48th, 49th, 50th, and the 52nd. Municipalities, it probably isn't a real big issue in those areas.
That's why it doesn't matter to me, because we're only 6 million.
They're going to pay for it anyway. So. And I think that's why it's a lot more of a hot button issue in my district, because those are the folks who are going to be.
And more new homes and higher priced homes.
Yeah. And higher priced homes. And so it's, they'll 35, 100,000 doesn't sound like too much, but then. And I guess there, too, if you can build $1 million home, you can afford
it.
Yeah, taxes that go with it. But again, there, that was quite a shot in the arm, or quite a shot with the last school tax addition plus this coming. I know that our township's looking even to buy a $200,000 grader, and they tabled it because they waiting to see what happens with the schools and with the with the county building project to put any more on the taxpayers. They decided it wasn't a good idea at this point. So.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but you can only put so much on the taxpayers.
Yeah.
There's a limit as to how
hard. And again, there we've been fortunate in as much as we have had a lot of increase in population down there.
Sure.
Again, there are 151 of there's a lot of businesses down there, but we could also be losing them to Dubuque and East Dubuque, Illinois and Iowa if they decide our taxes are too high to live in Wisconsin, in Grant County, in that part of Wisconsin. So that's another huge concern, too, is that we're going to lose some young people that are going to say, get out of here because the taxes are too high.
You know, I always come back to the thought that when we were growing up as kids, our parents had to pay those taxes for school and et cetera. And they weren't making the money we're making now. And somehow they squeezed it out. You know, your older people, I don't know. I guess I don't hear as much grumbling for school as I do for services. Isn't that crazy? I mean, is it just me that hears this or not? You know, I hear people really hollering, we got to get this school, you know. That's our future. These kids are our future. And if you got an old grader, if you can fix it up, maybe we should keep it, you know. But at the same time, boy, money is money.
I remember when my real estate tax was $600 a year. Now it's $3,000 a year.
Get any more services for that? Garbage pickup?
Well, we do have, yeah. They pick up your leaves and your grass.
Well, everything costs.
Actually, we have a very good.
Everything
our street department is very, very good.
It costs more.
I will admit that.
So you anticipate some kind of a decision within the near future?
Maybe within a month or two.
Well, I do commend you because
prices are going up.
Yeah, I think there's a lot
that was pointed out.
A lot there to balance for everybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any more comments on that? Any more public comments on anything?
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we should do something about Medicare Part D and Social Security. Our Uncle Don, he's not going to be very, very supportive, even though it was when he was elected. But I think we should, as a group, put something together to let the legislators know our feelings. I don't think we can just sit there and wait and see what's going to happen.
Has anybody heard anything? I mean, I still continue to hear from some of our people concerned about.
Yeah, I haven't got much.
Because nothing is out there
yet.
Yeah.
Once I have something, you know, once if there's a plan in place, if we actually get a plan that we know what's going to happen, then we can talk about that from an advocacy point of view. But right now, there's just a lot of unknown. We don't know what a new healthcare plan might look like if there's one. A substantive plan put in place. You know, we just don't know that yet. So,
and we have somebody from our standpoint. I mean, I think you've relayed it to me. That kind of looks at that.
We
for
do.
Us.
GWAR, which is the Greater Wisconsin Area on Aging Resources, who administers our aging programs, does have an advocacy consultant on staff, Janet Zander. So she's usually the one that gets us out the information on what's happening legislatively, and you know what to watch and what to look at. Obviously, we get other ones too. We get the Survival Coalition, who was very active when family care was being looked at. I'm expecting we'll get some information in the next month or so, but right now we don't have anything real concrete. There's a lot of speculation, but you can't really advocate in speculation. However, you can advocate that says, you know, some of these changes really could hurt our seniors, and I'm not sure people, you know, are aware of that. You know, the donut hole in Medicare could be brought back, which means people could then have to be paying their full premium price, which would be a lot of money. You know, 10 years ago people budgeted for that, but they haven't had that for a very long time, so they haven't budgeted that. I did see something the other day that senior premiums could go up. I think it was like $1,200, $1,500. So there are some, you're right, Shirley, there are some very concerns out there. As soon as I get something a little more formal from Janet, I will get that information out to you. Because part of this committee is advocacy for senior services, so you know, it is something we do need to look at. So it's not a federal one, but I did read that the federal legislators are back. I think where's my calendar? I think they're back next week, in offices. So they will be available if you want to make your views known. I think
according to the news, they're getting shot down, aren't they?
I think they've been getting a lot. I know I've been in contact. I haven't done anything legislatively for my office, but we will. We do have a legislative day. I have that down on my calendar in April, which would be state. I'll have to look at that. I don't know if I have it down here.
I know the hospital has an advocacy day on...
Here, I have Aging Advocacy Day on May 17th, but for some reason I was thinking that was April. I'll double check that, but we do have an Aging Advocacy Day coming up, so I will let you know that, and that's for the state. And we hooked on a couple years ago with Human Services, and then last year they tried to do their own. And it was pretty successful, and it's just good to get in there to those legislators' offices and, you know, just remind them that we're here and that they can come and visit us. And because we have actually had a lot of support from Senator Markline in the past. He has been very supportive.
You know, we had him at that meeting when we were over in Dodgeville. Is there anything like that in the offing again?
I can ask. You can certainly bring that up at a regional meeting. That would be a good thing because that was done regionally.
Right.
So.
Right.
That would be a good thing for a regional meeting. But yeah, I will keep you informed of that because there. Yeah, depending on what rolls out, there could be some concerns for seniors. And I think there, the focus has been so much on the health care, but I don't know that seniors are queuing in that it'll there are provisions in it that will affect them as well. So,
well, and who we should, they keep saying, write to your legislators. Okay, do we know who to hit? Which ones are supposed to be?
I can give you that information if you would like that.
I would be happy
to provide that to you.
And we're a group. We should be united together.
Right.
And promoting, because they're going to look at that.
Probably at the regional regional meeting, too. Mary, for when you usually do letters, you do that a lot of times at the regional level.
Yeah.
So you can talk to Mary about that as well.
What was amazing to me that some people didn't understand that the Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act were the same thing.
I really do think that is true.
It's confusing.
Yeah, I don't think people have understood that as well either.
So that's something, Shirley, next Thursday at the regional meeting, we put that on your calendar.
I have it on the calendar already.
I have a GWAR meeting coming up too, so I'm sure Janet will get. Janet's pretty good, and I haven't had she will do like a position paper out of GWAR sometimes. And I haven't seen anything yet on that, so but I'll keep my eye on that, so I can show you that. Because again, that is part of the duties of this board is to advocate for older people.
I talked to a guy the other day, and he said that he had heard that Crawford County they're closing all or some of the meal sites over there. Do you know anything about that?
They do all theirs through restaurants, so.
Is that what they're doing?
Oh, did you say Richland or Crawford?
Crawford.
Okay, because Richland is, I've gotten some communication from Richland that says they're really looking at it.
He lives in Richland, Crawford, huh?
Richland.
Oh, okay, so it's Richland then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
he was the one that told me. Okay.
I wondered because the nutrition, what's it, yeah.
Richland's got lots of issues.
The nutrition director had contacted me wanting to know how much levy was put into our nutrition program. So.
Oh, okay. So there's some issues.
So, yeah, I think they are definitely looking at some changes.
Oh, I think he was looking because he said, you know, you guys are going to lose all your meal sites. What do you mean, you guys? we're not. We don't live in the county you live in. Okay.
So do you feel that's a better way to go? Or do you have a feeling one way or the other?
I think the restaurants in the future will be probably a better way to go, in my opinion, in some of them. It depends. Like, I think Boscobel and Platteville are senior centers. They're well established, and they're a focal point, and I think it works there. But I think out in these little rural areas, where you've only maybe are serving 5 or 6 people on a daily basis, I think a restaurant might work out. You know, it. But again, the state has to loosen up some things. I think the regulations are so. You know, if you still do it in a restaurant, you still need a meal site manager. There's some of that stuff in there that just seems like, you know, you're trying to make it be more efficient and make it be less costly, and they still put in these things. I think right now, and I've repeated it to Sarah many times at the state level, I think the regulations are
too cumbersome.
Are too cumbersome and too costly. Mm-hmm. Our county is very generous with our nutrition program, but how long can we afford to be that generous with it? I think we have to really, you know, that's why part of the aging plan is to look strategically out to determine what we're going to do with that. Right now, we're supposed to have a full-time nutrition director, and we have Ruth at halftime and me at maybe, I don't even know if I'm dealing with a lot, but I'm not, but it's probably like 700 hours, but we don't have enough time. I mean, for what they really want to do, all the home-delivered assessments, all of the, you know, being out to those meal sites on a regular basis, I feel bad. I can't do it. I can't get out. I mean, I'm tied to, you know, offices and meetings that I have to go to. Ruth's doing her best to handle the assessments. It's a lot. So, yeah, I'm hoping that this voucher program that I'm kind of holding hope out in this voucher program. They just are approving it. There's really no information out on it yet. I know Richland County was looking at it too because she asked for some information on it. And that's where you could get a voucher. Again, your donating is what you can donate, but you would get a voucher and you could go to, say, mom and pop restaurant over here and use that voucher. to me, that's going to make more sense for people. But my biggest concern right now, too, is getting home-delivered meals out to people in Grant County, because right now, if you know, we serve a lot of little towns, but we serve mostly in town because we don't have the volunteer capacity to run meals out to Patch Grove or run meals out to, you know, somebody, you know, farther out in these little burgs. We just don't. And what are people going to do? I mean, there are some mail order ones, but they're not real effective either, so.
No, I always.
And that concerns me. We,
I think about the, they talked about the mail order one in which the 90-year-old lady or something didn't even come to her door and it had piled up on her front steps because she wasn't looking there and all these meals
and. And then my point was, and Dan and I had this conversation, my point was if we did figure it out, how could we afford it? Because if we could figure out how to reach all those people in those isolated areas, you know, we only get so much money from the state, from the feds, from OAA. The county's very generous with what they put in. You know, we have fairly good program revenue, but it doesn't cover the cost by far. So if we did get successful, we might be in more of a world of hurt financially. So, I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, I had two aunts that were living on about $630 a month, and so we were, bringing food into them all the time. And if some of our older people don't have family that's close...
Or involved.
And the problem we have, too, is we don't have any staff designated for, like, a volunteer coordinator. There's no funding for that. And that's very time-consuming, trying to find volunteers. You almost need somebody dedicated to, when you know you've got six people out in this area that all could use meals, then you almost need somebody making phone calls to churches and businesses and saying, you know, can you provide us with some volunteers? But the reality is we don't have the manpower to do this.
You won't find the people either.
And well, it's getting harder to find volunteers because, let's face it, people are working longer. So, you know, that's the other thing. Look at you. Look how retired you are. You work all the time.
I see so many of the volunteers, the people that should be getting the meals.
Exactly, and then they're behind the wheel.
Yeah. Not even your service groups, the groups, they're all of those organizations are elderly.
And I would say the majority of our meal site volunteers are elderly. They're eating at the meal site, but they're also volunteering for us.
What's the criteria for a meal site manager? What do they have to have?
They don't have to have a degree. They just basically have to have a high school diploma. We look for some experience, like if they've got some food handling and customer service experience.
So
but we get them certification, like in serving safe.
So if a hometown restaurant, I'm going to just throw this out, Katina's Cafe in Dickeyville.
Who used to be a meal site provider.
Could she be a meal site manager?
The way I understand it right now is... Not if that the owner of the restaurant, the way the regs are written, the owner of the restaurant can't be the meal site manager. I know.
Who would have an interest in getting the people there if it wasn't for the owner?
Right. Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. That's why it won't happen.
Right? Yeah.
And that's the stuff that concerns me because it's like, well, you make it so it's not going to be cost effective for us. So, I mean, we're going to have to look at it. We're going to have to see where we're getting our best bang for the buck and maybe where we can get some money. I've held off on Eckstein a little bit but I do think they're a possibility for like maybe the Cassville area. But, you know, I felt like we came very close to burning a bridge there, so I wanted to give some space, let the smoke clear before we go that route.
Okay, any other public comments? If hearing none, let's go on to advocacy report. And I know the ADRC board meeting, I wasn't going to be there, but it got canceled. So that took care of that.
Yep.
All right, the Alzheimer and Dementia Alliance workshop.
Just to let you know that that's coming up on March 16th. So if you have anybody interested in attending, it's usually a very good workshop. And you can register for it here.
If you remember.
I don't know why dementia legislation is on there. I apologize. I don't think there's anything.
Nothing on that either. That you can know. I was just going to ask a question. When you look about the dementia legislation, these cafeterias that are dementia friendly?
Hold
Do you know how some of those are going at all?
The cafes?
Cafes,
I think they're hit and miss, but I think they have been pretty successful. I know Mineral Point's doing one. Most of them have been done through the Alliance, not through us, but I know Whitney has some involvement in them as well. Whitney has done just a fantastic job, and I'll report that when we do the aging plan. Of really getting people out there and getting dementia-friendly communities. So I have my eye on a place in Boscoville that I think might be a good place for a dementia cafe. The coffee shop right across from you guys.
Timberland.
Yeah, I think they would be a nice spot for a dementia-friendly cafe. The cafes, what she's talking about, the memory cafes, are just a spot like they might happen once a month where people with... that have a spouse or, you know, a friend or a grandma or whoever it might be with dementia can come and just kind of hang out and have some activities and socialize and not be kind of put on the spotlight. You know, sometimes people don't want to go to a restaurant because they're concerned, and so it's just kind of a judgment-free zone for them. And
coffee nice cheap. Place. It's only $4 a cup.
What?
I think we could get a better deal.
Really?
Seriously? Wow. How many refills?
Specialized coffee.
Oh.
You know, when you talk about the restaurants, I can see, like the Vale Inn, if they were to come down there to eat, they're not having a place to sit. It's going to be full.
Yeah.
And, what do you do in that case?
That's,
you know,
that's the problem
that's
in some
happen.
Of the areas, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a little room on the side, don't they?
That's usually full.
Is it really?
There's stuff going on in there every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's.
And Boscoville probably. I mean, Boscoville has they're our second highest.
Oh yeah,
in terms
they,
of
the
we senior
got
the center
set up the way it is right
being
now,
well
sure.
used. So,
what's your population of older people versus younger people? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. I'd have to look at. I'd have.
I mean,
to
if you're having a good turnout, my
we have
thoughts are you.
People in there daily.
I mean, we have a good turnout.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we do. Well, we do like 21,000 out of Platteville, and I would say we probably do. Don't quote me on it, but I bet we do about 15,000 out of Boscoville.
Mm-hmm.
We have
yeah.
lot of home delivered,
yeah.
and a lot of people come.
It's run very well. It does.
But we have a lot of housing in Boscoville, too, and I think that we have a lot of senior
housing. For the
elderly,
the senior housing. Senior housing.
And I think that's always been...
We'll be having a whole bunch more housing this year, but it'll be for senior care houses. The nursing home is going to build a bunch.
Oh, they're going to do an assisted living.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's needed, so he said, I'll build whatever it takes. So, yeah.
I told somebody a long time ago that that's a building that we have... already built in Boscoville that we should turn it into a
yeah.
either a respite care or assisted living. But
and he said, I'll build however many it takes. So yeah.
We definitely need that. We
yeah.
we definitely can.
You know, that's
that
so wonderful to be able to keep your elderly perhaps closer to if you have some younger.
Well, it's good
families.
Business for him because they're going to go from wherever, from home to his assisted living. They're going
to
go from there into his
into
nursing.
The nursing.
Oh, okay.
So it's the best of both worlds.
He's
but
got it covered either way.
He owns six nursing homes. So yeah.
We don't have a lot of assisted living in you know the county other
yeah.
than you know
Morningside
and Platteville. And
we need it. So it's, I mean that's not low income. It's just assisted living. So.
What's that?
You got a few in Fenimore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Boscoville has never had anything.
Okay.
In the high schools or even the grade schools, those that already have a lunch program, could they ever be?
It has been used, but we did, that's where our Dickey or our Potosi site was, and the seniors don't want to go there. That's just not a.
I can understand that. Yeah.
You could get run over when the bell rang. You have nothing but tracks off your back.
Yeah, that's just not been a real doable. I mean,
it sounds good, though.
Yeah.
Especially when you see now the thing out in the public is to keep your older people and younger people. They're putting daycare centers close to nursing homes. So we have this, you know.
Intergenerational.
Yeah, intergeneration type thing. So who knows, right? All right, anything else? If nothing, let's go on to 9.
Okay, the aging plan assessment, as you know, the aging plan is 3 years, and we do kind of an assessment in each year so that we kind of know where we're at and what we still have to get completed. So We're doing pretty good. We've got a few things. One that I just totally spaced out. I'm sorry to say that, but it was true. So I'll just kind of go through the goals of where we're at. One of the things that we wanted to do this year was get information out on the new voter ID laws that were happening. And so we did get voter ID materials from Linda Gephardt, our county clerk, and got those out to all of the meal sites and to the home-delivered meals to inform participants of the requirements. And we were hoping that we would maybe transport more individuals to obtain an ID if they needed one. We only actually had one person that was transported. We only had one person that actually requested it. So I don't know if that's because most of them already had the IDs needed or what the case was. But under the nutrition program, we wanted to increase awareness and usage of the ADRC services by home-delivered meal participants. Typically, our home-delivered meal participants are already homebound, so they're often in need of other services. So we wanted information and assistance staff, which works for the ADRC, not for the aging part of our program, to conduct some home-delivered meal assessments and provide ADRC outreach materials to all new home-delivered participants. Ruth did provide them with some training on how to conduct those home-delivered meal assessments and do that. So we did do that. The state was real big on this a couple years ago on us doing that, and now with a new person in finance, they're like, well, we think they can do the initial ones, but we don't think they can do the ongoing. Well, I would have just the opposite feeling. I think they should do the ongoing because as people are on home-delivered meals for an ongoing longer period of time, their health is probably going to decline some because they're already homebound. But we are still able to do the initial. So at least we can get people out there and they know who we are. And so if they do have other services or other concerns, they can call in and they will have already met with an information and assistance staff person. So we're hoping that will be good. One of the things that I was hoping to do that we need to finish up is determining the wants and needs of adults 60 plus and their caregivers around food access and security. Ruth met with a group in Platteville around that, and of course everybody has their own opinions on what we should be doing with the nutrition program. And for every one opinion, we had an opposite opinion for it too, so it was kind of funny, but So we do want to get out to a couple more sites and get those. We did UW Extension, who provides our nutrition education for the sites. They have a FoodWise advisory group that we collaborated with too. They were conducting surveys at the meal sites to determine food access needs and wants. So we were using some of that to determine that as well. But I think we got better information at the focus group than we did by the survey. So I think we're going to go out and do a couple more focus groups this spring. Because, again, we want to kind of take that information from those focus groups and use it to look strategically at what we might need to do down the line. Services in support of caregivers. Usually we try to provide a powerful tools for caregivers. Each year. We did offer that class back in April of 2016, but this year we just had a lack of caregivers signing up. We need to have about a minimum of 10 in order to do it, and I think we only had 3 or 4 sign up, so we weren't able to offer that. So we are going to shoot for that. We usually try to do it every year. Unfortunately, again, one of these things that they require is they require 2 people trained in powerful tools to offer the class. It would be so much easier if it was only 1.
You offer? Do you offer respite too at that time?
We do offer the respite
for the people
for
attending.
Yeah, Crawford County had wanted to actually collaborate with us this year, but they don't have a person trained in powerful tools, and they talked to the state, and they won't let Ruth do it by herself. So, which again, I think is a little silly because I think it could be done. But one of the other things we did was we tried to provide an educational forum as well as a relaxing day of respite for our caregivers, and we did that back in just the beginning of December. We held a caregiver renewal day. We had 12 caregivers attend, which is very, very good considering these people all have, you know, really big responsibilities. The topic was humor and stress. We did a presentation off of the computer with Loretta LaRouche, who does, it was great. They absolutely loved it. They laughed and laughed and laughed. We had a breakfast buffet for them instead of a lunch. We thought maybe we would try something different, and we had it a little earlier, and then they ate, and they really liked that. Instead of having lunch and then not getting out till the afternoon, this way they were free for lunch, and most of them were heading over to Walmart in Platteville to get a couple things before they went home, because it was December. So the last few years they wanted a craft activity, so I did this craft activity, which stressed me out for about a month and a half, trying to work at home every night, coming up with an activity that 12 different people of different varying abilities could do. So, but it turned out okay, and they enjoyed that too. And then we did, Ruth also had a little presentation on how music can be used to relieve your stress, and just how it's good for you and how you can use that, not only for the care recipient, but for the caregiver. And then to kind of solidify that, we played a little, like, name that tune game for them, and they won some prizes.
I can do it.
And that was
three
fun.
Notes.
That was fun. They had a good time with that, so I had a good time with that. I did that at home too, but that was kind of more fun than my craft activity. So, services to people with dementia. We were wanting to increase the use of the virtual dementia tour by offering at least 2 sessions for community members, with a minimum of 12 participants, and then increase that to 18. Whitney has just been phenomenal within the region. She's offered 6 virtual dementia tours with 75 total participants. We also wanted to sustain the dementia-friendly community coalitions that we've had by having regular meetings and training at least 10 local businesses or organizations throughout 2016. She's trained 11 businesses and organizations, and 84 individuals attended those. So she is making great strides in dementia-friendly activities, I think. Healthy aging, we were, one of our goals was to get somebody trained in stepping on. We did that, and that was Emily, and she has left, so we are back to square one with that.
Well, I can inject here. I just last week went to Madison and completed the training to get recertified to teach the diabetic one.
And again, it's one of those.
And we're getting ready to do a stepping on program at Morningside.
Oh, great.
Possibly, shortly.
I got it.
That will be in collaboration with the hospital and the ADRCs here.
Yeah,
so Missy's working on it.
Yeah, it's one of those unfortunate, those leader, these prevention trainings are evidence-based, so they've been researched through the UW system and things like that.
And Stanford.
They have to have 2 leaders, and so, again, it just makes it a little bit difficult. You get somebody trained, and then they go, and they don't offer the trainings on a, it's like 4, you know, there's 4 trainings, but they're
all over the state,
mm-hmm. So. Again, we were hoping to have somebody trained living well with diabetes and living well with chronic conditions, and we had Emily, she'd been signed up for that training in Iowa County, and they canceled that one on us, so that's their bad, not ours. But so we do have Nicole, our new INA, is interested in getting some training, so we are getting her on board with that this year. So hopefully she'll stay.
That retention is an issue.
It is.
Because it costs you a lot to train
it
in any position. Yeah. And then she was only here, what, a couple months?
Yeah. Well, a year. But
a year. Okay.
But by the time we got her trained, it was a couple months after the
finish. And then we lose them. So.
And it's a lot. The training is a lot. It's like 3-4 days of training. So
you have a cost, a figure of what it costs to train somebody.
I don't offhand. I have
the
to look
I
at
ask
some
is
of those.
In the city, if we hire somebody and they have to go through a training program, they have to stay a minimum of 4 years. And if not, they have to pay the city back what it costs to pay them.
Really?
Yeah. So we don't have many quit.
Never heard of such a thing.
Yeah.
Well, you can train.
And then if you like the utilities, and then they'll go with Dairyland or somebody else, I'm trained, and they'll hire them.
Sure.
So we went through all the training, so we changed that. You know, yeah.
I don't know, like with the prevention, it's a small part. We don't get, ADRC can use some of their money towards prevention. Through the Older Americans Act, we only get like $4,000 for prevention, and it has to be evidence-based. That's the problem that we face, is it always has to be evidence-based, so you have to have leaders trained, and that's the only thing that we can do. But we can't dedicate a lot of time for our INAs because they're busy doing other things, and we don't have enough money to make somebody a full-time prevention specialist here. We have talked about doing one through the region on more than one occasion, so and that to me makes more sense, kind of like Whitney is for dementia care specialist. But we were able to partner with Grant Regional to offer 12 participants a Living Well with Diabetes workshop, which we had on. And we had tried to get another Stepping On workshop scheduled too, and that one we had low attendance for too, so that one did not go. That one was put together pretty fast by
well,
Regional, though, so I think
we weren't sure of the time of the year that we were putting it together, so we just didn't get anybody to bite on it.
So our local priorities were to create dementia-friendly senior dining sites and training some volunteers. Our local priority has always been Elderfest, and I don't know how I changed that last year. I don't remember doing that, so... we had gotten some information out to volunteers on communication tips with people with dementia, and I looked at that, and I don't know how I left that off. But so I have that set up with Whitney. She is going to come out and do a north and south training for our volunteers on dementia, on working with people with dementia. So we will have that one taken care of, but that was a little stunning when I read that. I don't know why I didn't look at that one sooner, but I guess I was in my head it was the Elderfest because it's always been that way, but apparently I changed it. So we are pretty much on board. We've got a few things that we'll finish up probably by the end of April, I think, is those ones that we still have to do. We should have done by the end of April. So I just need an approval on that to show that you have been informed on our progress.
Will I hear a motion?
I'll second.
Who are you taking?
Shirley.
Doesn't matter.
She was closer. Okay, number 10, approval of vouchers.
She has some.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Any questions on the vouchers?
Give me one, Beth.
You guys hanging out all day, huh?
Yeah. You might as well reuse that.
Thank you. Do you have... I don't know where mine are.
I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers.
Do I hear a second? From Pat, seconded. Any further discussion on the vouchers?
I don't think we have anything out of the ordinary.
Okay, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Approval of vouchers carried. Passed. Financial report.
This is the January report. I will try to give you a report next month of where we kind of ended up with for 2016. Nancy and I are still, we're waiting on some revenue to come in for our transportation programs and trying to sort that out, which is why I didn't bring that today yet, because we have a few. That's what I was trying to do this morning, was work out a couple things with DOT. But I think
we'll be okay.
We'll be okay with our 2016. Yeah, we've actually made money in transportation. I'm concerned now that we have too much money in transportation. So.
Oh,
that's
good. Good problem.
Yeah. It is a good problem. Yeah. And we're actually looking at that. So.
I'll make the motion to accept the financial report as written.
Whoa, everybody jumping right in. Way to go.
Okay. Did you take pictures
Steve,
a second then?
Steve will make the motion in Shirley seconds.
Okay.
Oh, any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And say opposed, say no. Motion carried. Now to the reports.
I do not have a... I apologize. Did she send your program reports out? I apologize. I forgot that I needed to do that. I am sorry. You can see that my admin assistant is not on board full time, so I'm a little crazy. They are ready, though, and I can give these to you as you leave. My director's report isn't in writing either because we've been a little crazy lately. Courtney did start. She is working part-time with Treasury through this week, and then she starts with us full-time next week, and I will be very happy to have her because I have been pulled in a lot of directions and not well in any of them, I will have to say. But she's come on board, and she already understands the accounting software, so she just has to learn our system. And even with being here only 3 days, she's doing really good at that, so I'm really excited to get her on board full time because I think we can have her doing a lot of different projects. So, and then I won't be having to do finance vouchers and things like that and payroll, which will be really nice. That's really been taking up a great deal of time. The building, obviously, we've been putting a lot of time into the building that might not be the building now. Which is what I've been worried about all along, that I'm spending a lot of time planning a building that isn't going to happen, but well, such is the deal. We are looking at some contingency operations. We've met with Steve Braun. One of Dan's concerns was, you know, if something really did happen to this building, where would we go? And to my knowledge, I hadn't ever come across anything that there was a plan in place. It sounds like maybe there was 10 or 15 years ago, but people hadn't really updated it and things like that. So we did meet briefly with Steve, and he's going to help. Steve Braun, the emergency management director, and he's going to work with us on that a little bit. You know, what would happen in the short term if the building was flooded tomorrow. But
no, I understand his office will be with the
Sheriff's Department.
With the Sheriff's Department, mm-hmm. right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. As far as I know. When you hear it, you usually hear it only as the jail, ADRC, and social services, and they don't mention emergency management. But yes, it is, as far as I know, it's still there. So we will be working with him a little bit. One of the things I did want to report out, because I shared with you some of the electrical concerns that the electrician had put down into a memo. Bob did ask him to come out. He asked Steve Braun to come out and take a look to see if we had any hot spots in the conduit and things like that with the thermal imaging camera, because there were some concerns that maybe we still had some of those. Steve did not find any. They found, I know nothing about electricity, so I can't really relay this very well, but they did find one little spot in the circuit panel where one was a little hotter than the other one, and that was the one that went to the server. So the maintenance person did call the electrician, who said he'd come right over. So he came over, didn't really think it was a big deal, but thought maybe a dedicated line directly to our server might be helpful. But we did have the ability then to ask him about, you know, like, did you see the lights just blink here? So it's common.
What about when you put on all these air conditioners?
And we're going to maybe check that when that comes back.
How many
air
conditioners?
But he did say, I have no idea. Just come out here and look at all the windows,
yeah,
and you'll see an air conditioner in about every one of them.
Will the overload on that take it?
He checked in the short term. We don't have any real issues that he thought. He did say he thought we should check our outlets in terms of the grounding, and maintenance did say that they had a little tester for that. So I'm hoping that they will come over. I especially would like the outlets where the air conditioners are going to be plugged into checked, because he had made some concerns about grounding being an issue, and I want to make sure that, you know, staff aren't using outlets that are not grounded properly. So there were concerns there, but I did feel a lot better after he left that, you know, he was talking about electromagnetic fields and some
hot conduits and hot conductors.
Yes, and that was
fire-related hazards.
That was a little
stray electricity.
Stray electricity, yeah.
He sent a letter to the over to the Orchard Manor. I don't know if you got a copy of that.
I don't think I did. No.
Okay. There.
I got the memo that the electrician had originally. Is that the same one, or was this a different one since he's been
here? I should have brought it. I thought you'd probably have one here, and it was like you were going to maybe not use some of those copiers that pulled a lot of juice.
We did have that, and I have actually, the printers are apparently drawing, so I have asked people to not, you know, plug those, unplug those if they're non-essential. Yeah. And so mine is unplugged right now.
Yeah. So he did send a letter to them.
I need to get a copy of that because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and it did address some of the, as I remember, it did address some of the issues over here, too. Yeah.
You know, I did feel better, at least, having had talked to him. I was real concerned.
That just always reminds me of the house type thing when you can't run your dishwasher and wash machine at the same time. I mean,
well, it's
you
true
got
in my
machines
office. I can't.
Throughout the
I do have an outlet that if you plug in, I have blown the circuit.
You have blown the circuit.
So I will follow. I am going to follow up with Matthew about coming over and checking those outlets because I have not seen him since. So I do want them checked before because in a short amount of time we will be having air conditioners.
Steve Braun does have that electro imaging.
Yes, and he did. Steve did. I was there. I was here the night that they took it through. He did not find anything. Where the concerns were, the electrician had noted, we didn't find anything that was overly hot. So
we were a little surprised that he did and had that he had that camera because we didn't know. And we were using electricians and having them do it, and here we have the.
Well, and Steve didn't really know what was going on here either, but when we had the contingency meeting, we got talking to him about it, and then we were talking about the electrician had said he'd come over with a thermal imaging camera, and Steve's like, well, I've got one.
I called him after our meeting and said, do you have a plan? And again, that plan, emergency action and operation contingency plan. Because it's, you know, it's seek shelter, it's evacuation. We have to have the seek shelter warden and the evacuation warden. And it's a matter of common heads. And there's some responsibilities that go with it.
I mean, there has to be a command center.
Yeah, within each department.
Yeah.
And then it even goes beyond that in terms of your customers that supply you with product or information and the customers that you supply, they both need to know that, you know, there's been a change, there's a building down. All of that needs to be in a written format, and the employees need to be trained on it.
And he's supposed to have a copy of that from all the communities. He has ours. The school has one, and the city has one as well. It's where the command center is and where everybody goes. He has a copy of that.
He might do a nice job going up with it, but he doesn't do much going down with it.
Right, yeah.
And that's where it needed to be. I was appalled at the fact that this building, and as it comes to turn out, this is the building I thought that needed it the most. And it sounds like every other department in these other buildings in the county already have a plan. It's posted on the wall, and they do the drills.
Yeah, we did have a drill. We do not have any smoke alarms in this building.
What?
Well, isn't there a law that's going to be coming into effect that you don't need sprinklers anymore?
I don't know. Our sprinklers are our pipes.
I saw something on that.
Our sprinklers are when our pipes go.
That's why I think there's still a huge priority to get this building back.
And I still have some concerns on after hours when, you know, I'm here after hours. A fair amount sometimes, and social services staff often have people here after hours, and with no smoke detectors in the building, that concerns me, because I wouldn't know who was upstairs on the third floor. I would have no idea, so I would feel real bad if, I mean, I can pull a fire alarm, but, you know, I could be sitting down here and the whole third floor could be up in flames, and I wouldn't have a clue.
I wouldn't know you were there.
And I wouldn't have a clue either. So.
What does the county
have? Haven't you ever had smoke alarm?
Okay.
No.
I'm surprised they don't say you have to have.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were referencing 10, 15 years ago, and it was with UW Platteville. Fred was talking about it. And it's in a vault at the University of Wisconsin Platteville. Well, that's a nice place.
We're through the league of municipalities, and they even come and inspect it. I'm sure you've done it.
That's
weird. Yeah.
The one thing of us being regional, we do have the ability. Like if our whole building was wiped out, we could easily put on the radio within different things to contact a number. You know, so people could still call in, and Iowa County, Lafayette County, Greene County could all pick up the slack for us very easily while we. you know, did what we needed to do.
And again, there you could work from home where applicable and more home visits. I'd like to go on, but again, that all needs to be in a protocol written.
Right.
And there are
still some very big building concerns here, like I said, with fire being probably the main issue, and I think that would be our highest risk.
What the alarm was from the initial report was that the electromagnetic fields are causing some heat issues and the grounding issues relative to your conduits and conductors, which again are, you know, hidden in the walls, and so there was a heck of a concern. I thought about the fire related.
Yeah, the report definitely shook me up a little bit. I was like, you know, in terms of staffing, we need to know. So, again, we're dealing with that. We'll continue to deal with that. We'll have those conversations with Steve. And I think, again, we can get something down pretty easily on how to do that. I'm not real concerned about that. I mean, as I said, when we've had emergencies in other counties, we've been able to pick up and go there pretty quickly. So I'm confident if we had one in our own, that we could still maintain
services. We got a chance to use ours when we had one years ago. You know, everybody thinks you got a plan together, and they never work. Because when the real thing happens, it falls apart so fast.
Yeah.
And actually, ours went pretty well, and FEMA said it was great. You did a good job. But then you find out all the things that you did wrong. Until you've actually been there, done, and did that, it falls apart. You know, it really does. That's why you got to practice them.
But we did pull that together pretty.
Yes, we did.
I was two weeks into my job when that happened.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was my hometown, so at least I knew resources there. So that was a little helpful. But yeah, that was an eye opener for me. But we've lived through two Grant County emergencies. So, and we are a critical part of that emergency management. So it's good. I've got some experience with it, so I think we can pick up and move pretty easily. But this building does concern me, and I think we do need some contingencies. And one of those being the fact that there is no smoke alarms here does bother me, because I really don't know what could be happening in another part.
Isn't that a law that you have to have smoke alarms in all
these residential? I don't know.
I'm shocked.
We've got to.
You've got to have them.
If you can find one for me,
the fire chief was here. That Steve Run is the fire chief for you.
I think it's
not mandated.
You don't think it is?
Mark was over here to check the fire extinguisher one day, and I said, you go ahead and check that, but I'm not going to use it. I am not going to stay here trying to put out a fire. I'm going to get out.
Everybody out of here and fan a little.
That's
bit.
Right.
No one can be required to use. You can't mandate that you must grab the fire extinguisher and attempt it. It's your choice, but if you so choose, you need to be trained in how to operate.
We always
they need to be inspected monthly for proper charge and pin location. So there's, unless government who makes these laws makes themselves
exempt
from it.
Which could be.
Those are the OSHA regulations.
We had to train staff in Head Start
must have a fire marshal or inspector to protect your. We get checked twice a year.
Yeah, they come out, they check, because we have to check our buses, too.
And they put a tag on it that it was okay, or they replace it. Even at the airport, in private hangars, you have to meet with them so they know that that you've got what you're supposed to have.
Interesting. Anything else there, Kittle?
Other than that, we've had the bus breakdown over by Muscadet on Friday. That was great. We've had some computer issues, which we're still working on. The bus broke down over by Muscadet, but it was a great day for most of our riders. Several of them told me that was the most exciting day they've had.
I said,
well, I don't think it was for Randy, the bus driver.
We're not going to set this up again.
No, or me, who had to go down and get him and bring him back to get another bus. Me. But yes, we had two buses go down.
He was a good one.
And Cindy was very good at the meal site. She got out cards, and they played cards in the afternoon until we could get another bus to get them. But yes, for several of them, they thought it was a great day. It was the most excitement they'd had in a long time. So I liked that they were able to go with the flow. I was very appreciative of that. So we will have more things regular once Courtney gets on. She's much more organized and will keep me on track better than I can keep me on track. So I will get you guys program reports, though, before you leave, and you will have a nutrition report hopefully next month.
Okay. So. Any questions? Anything else to come before us?
Next meeting, same time, next month.
I apologize.
Same
week. Yes.
I make a motion to the meeting.
Wait. We have a problem with the meeting next month.
Oh,
I'm,
15th, yes.
I'm not going to be here.
Okay.
And neither
I might be in Steuben or something.
We were going to put you in charge.
Yeah, right.
They'll be flooding in Steuben.
Wait a minute,
right
when
now.
Is the next meeting? Is it the 15th?
Got the 15th.
Okay, I don't leave until the 17th, so I will.
Oh, okay.
Jan is
well,
here, so
yeah.
I'll do it.
Well, okay. Next
fine.
Meeting will be the 15th of March.
Is that the third Wednesday?
Yeah.
It is. It is. Is anybody interested before I the ADRC conference is coming up?
The 16th.
Is it the 16th? Is anyone interested in attending that?
What is that? April what?
It's March 16th.
Oh, March.
I'm off on everything.
March 16th?
Is that the workshop?
I've got to look that up. I thought it was April. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can look that up really quick. It's a... probably won't be able to do it in here because we have Wi-Fi. I know some of you in the past have gone to the ADRC conferences and or the aging ones, so I just wondered if you are interested in that information.
Well, where is it?
It's in Madison this year.
I guess I wouldn't be since I'll be off the board soon, so it'd be kind of a waste.
Oh,
of
that's the other thing. I was going to mention that too, that,
Lord,
that Jan and Shirley will both be through their term limits, so I will be advertising that. So we will be trying to look for somebody over in that kind of eastern side of the county that way, probably Fenimore, Montfort, where, and then
you're
maybe
off
somebody
when?
In Central.
June.
So if you have any ideas of people, let me know.
I've been thinking. I've got one lady.
I don't have it right now. I'm going to run and get you those program
reports.
That's been a wonderful
thing. Seems like a good start.
I believe, if you want to make the motion to adjourn.
I do.
So be it. She's got to get those reports and bring them. And thank you all.
Don't you think this has been a fast 6 years?
Oh, it has. I never wrote it down. I never kept track. And I wondered, well, where has the time gone?
I know. I was tracking it because I retired that year, the same year that I came on the board. So I've been able to keep the...
Pat, do you want me to drive?
I can drive. I think Joe can drive.
Joe can drive? Well, I just have to be back in time because I got to be in La Crosse because we're leaving for Nashville. For Vanderbilt. That same day yet.
So what time do you have to be in Lafayette?
Well, we're hoping to. I mean, I've got a 2-hour drive to get up there, and I hope they want to leave by 3. So if we're back in town by 12, there's no problem. I'll be ready to go. I just have to drive to La Crosse before we go to the other way.
She took a job with Midwest Title, which was more pay.
I wish I could
and a little more
Madison,
flexibility
but I don't know
to work
a place to
from
park
home
my
a little
car
bit, so that
and leave
was
it.
Probably
well,
a
that's a
that I won't come back in 4 weeks.
Courtney,